I'm going to peel this off. It's hot up here. Of course, as y'all know, I always have a prop, just about always. And of course, Aaron had me to do Sunday school so that everybody will appreciate his preaching more because they have to listen to me. I'm going to try to speak loud. I've been told that I'm very quiet when I speak. Make sure. Okay, he's okay. Since they've been gone, I had dog set it, their dog, Max. He may have traumatized one of my pets, so I've kind of had to bring it with me today. Don't worry, he won't get out. He's pretty well trained. We'll go ahead and uncover him. Y'all thought I was joking. I really brought a pet with me. Be good. We're going to be in the book of Mark. We're going to start off in Mark chapter 2. I'll give everybody time to be there. Mark chapter 2. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Now here Jesus is. He goes into a house and he's preaching the word. And everybody is coming up there. There are so many people. You can't fit any more people in. Imagine for a moment, just imagine, if churches across this country was that excited about Jesus being in the house. Imagine coming to church on Sunday and thinking, how am I going to get into church? There's so many people, they're outside the door, we can't get in. It's amazing. I wonder what they were all there for. Some of them were probably hungry for the Word of God. Some of them was probably there to be entertained, to see what's this Jesus going to do now. I mean, they've heard about Him healing people. They've heard about Him doing miracles. What's He going to do? Some of them were probably there just to criticize Him. But I was reading this, and this story really fascinates me. You know, like I always try to tell kids back there in Master Club, you know, God didn't put events in the Bible just because He needed to fill up a book. There's something that we can learn from this. So here we got a packed house. It's just people stacked on top of everybody. And we got four people that got a friend. And we're going to talk about these four people with their friend. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of palsy, which was born of four. So there's a sick man. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, which is the crowd, it wasn't CNN and all them reporting on it, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. We got four people. Now, I don't know if this was their friend. I don't know if this was a random person they knew. Everything okay, Aaron? I don't know. But we got four people carrying one man and trying to get him to Jesus. Whenever they go to where Jesus is at, they realize we cannot get in. See, an immediate, you know, they don't want to wait. They could have waited. You'd think they'd have waited. Jesus is in the house. They're bringing this man to get healed. But there was this urgency about it. They were willing to do anything. How are we whenever it comes to bringing people into the house, into the church? We should see these guys as an example. We shouldn't be like, you know, like we are so far. We'll wait. We'll say, well, I'll invite that person later. I'll talk to this person later. I'll talk to them tomorrow. Tomorrow will be a better day. And then, of course, tomorrow comes, and then tomorrow's still the next day, so you wait until tomorrow again. But these guys, it was urgent. I mean, they had this guy. They did not want him to miss his chance to see Jesus. We should be that urgent. We should have that in our mind. James 4:14, it tells us, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanishes." Life is a vapor. Life is short. Y'all don't believe me? Y'all can talk to Brother Denny. He just celebrated a birthday. He's almost as old as Methuselah. And he can tell you that it went like that. One reason why I wanted to preach on this is I worked around a young man for several years. I invited him to church. He is 34 years old, and he passed away last month. Life is short. How many of y'all watch the news? We got a couple that watch the news. The rest of y'all are living a stress-free life. We can see the world's crazy. I don't have to tell y'all the world's crazy. We got people that are anything and everything. We got to look at the world for what it is. It is a bunch of lost people running around crazy. They're running around. They're trying to find something to fill the void in their life. And they're trying to fill it. Drugs, alcohol, sex, anything. And we need to get to them. We don't want people just to come in church or just go up to somebody and, "I'm going to step down. Hi, do you know Jesus? Here, one second. ABC, pray after me. You're saved. Don't worry, you ain't got to go." We don't want that. These four people brought this man to Jesus and they were expecting something. They were expecting his life to be changed. That's what they were expecting. And that's what we ought to expect. We ought to expect when we go out and we witness to somebody that we get them, they get saved, they know Jesus as their Savior. They come to church, they learn about God, their life is changed and there's a difference in their life. This is what we want. We don't need to let anything stop us. These four men, they didn't let anything stop them. There's a lot of times people worry about, "Well, if I go around everybody and I'm preaching and I'm talking to them about Jesus, they're going to think I'm a nut." I'm going to tell you one way to realize how to be happy in life. You're a nut. Once you come to the knowledge that you're weird, you're strange, you're just you, you're happy in your own skin. I mean, I'm up here in a suit and tennis shoes. We have a crazy night in Master Club. I dress up like the kids. I act like a big kid. I mean, my pet. It's a brick. It's Fluffy. That's its name. So here I am walking around with a brick in a pet carrier. I don't care what people think about me, for the most part. I want people to see me and I want them to say, "He's a Christian." I want them to see me and say, walk up and say, "Where do you go to church at? You're different. You don't act like everybody else." I don't want to worry that I'm witnessing somebody that they're going to think I'm a nut. I want to worry that they're going to miss their opportunity to come to Jesus and they're going to die and go to hell. That's what I want to worry about. That's what we need to worry about. Now these guys, I mean, could you imagine for just one second, we're sitting in here, there's so many people packed in here, they can't even get in the door, and all of a sudden we start hearing a noise coming up. You know the people inside thought them guys were crazy. Why don't you just wait? What are you doing? And witnessing to people and getting people to come to church. These guys, they were selfless. They didn't care what happened. They were prepared. If plan A don't work, we got to have a plan A. You know, walk up, talk to somebody, witness somebody. Have a friend go. If you don't know what to say, you don't know what to do, send Derek. Sorry, I just volunteered you for this. Or if you can't go, like take Brother Derek. He went to the abortion clinic. He's passionate about that. He's trying to save a life. You know, people sit around and they say, why hadn't God gave us a scientist or a doctor that will cure cancer or cure this disease? He might have, and it just might have been aborted. If you don't have time, or you can go with him, pray for him. We can be actively involved in some way, somehow. We can pray. Like I've said many a times with the bus ministry, I don't have time on Saturday to go out with them. I can pray for them. If they got something going on and they need something, we can financially support them. Oh, he's talking about money again. Yeah. We can do that. You know, they have the sign-up sheet. Every so often, they need people to bring something. Well, they ain't back there just eating cupcakes and having fun. Well, they are having fun. But they're getting the gospel. The kids who probably are not going to get a chance to hear the gospel in their home, they're going to hear the gospel. And the thing is here's this guy. He's sick. I've got a buddy. He's my friend. He just got out of jail. He's got a problem with addiction. I mean, he is my friend. And I have talked to him, and I've witnessed to him, and I told him what he needs to overcome it. And it's Jesus. And so far, the closest I've got to any kind of progress with him is he'll every now and then call me up and say, pray for me. You want me to come down there and talk to you? No, I just want you to pray. They let this man down. They bring him before Jesus. They do whatever it takes. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick with palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven. You take my friend Lance. I'll actually call him by his name instead of his nickname. The only way he's going to have a life change is he's going to have to get right. He's going to have to know Jesus as his Savior. We're not here just trying to get thousands of people, even though, you know, we've had thousands of people here before. We're here to see lives changed. We're here to get people to get saved, to know the Lord, read their Bible, walk with the Lord. We're here to see husbands who used to be alcoholics not be alcoholics. And the same with the wives. We're here to see families that were broken no longer be broken. We need to do whatever's necessary. And the thing is you read, here it is. Here's Jesus preaching in a house. We have these four guys tear a hole in the roof, which they're going to have to pay for, by the way. I mean, I'm sure whoever owns the house is probably pretty mad. But they don't care. Their main focus is getting this man to Jesus. But there was certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man thus speak blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God? We're going to have critics. When you go out and you completely sell out to God and you're at church at Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, you even show up on Wednesday, you go to a prayer meeting, you're out knocking on people's doors, you're witnessing to your neighbors, you meet your new neighbors who just moved in and you're over handing them a tract saying, hey, you go to church anywhere, you want to come to my church. When you're doing that, people are going to criticize you. And what's sad is sometimes it's going to be the people that are close to you. Sometimes it's going to be your family. But we can't get disheartened from this. I mean, here it is. Jesus himself is preaching. And here's a scribe. Here's somebody that should know the Bible. They should know that Jesus is the Messiah. They're intelligent. They should know. But here they wonder. And they're criticizing. We shouldn't let criticism come in the way. I mean, I'm sure you were criticized yesterday. I'm sure you were the most popular person at the abortion clinic when you're walking up to a woman and you're giving her the gospel and you're explaining to her that that's not a clump of cells. That's a life. That's not your body, because if it was your body and you did the abortion, you would die. That's a separate body. I like the term with child, like Megan, she is with child. Kind of reminds people, that's a child. You don't see a little kid running around and say, oh, that's just a clump of cells. No, that's Rogue. That's my daughter. But these four guys, they do whatever it takes. And there's so many times that we find so many things that are inconvenient. And once again, I'm going to mention the town that I live in. There's so many people with the problem. Well, I got fellow Bonavians in here. There's so many people in that town that have an addiction problem or have a sin problem. Because see, people, you take Fluffy here. This is why Fluffy's here, not just because Max traumatized him. Fluffy cannot get out of this cage. Fluffy cannot open this. It's impossible. Anybody think he can get out? I mean, so far the only tricks he can do is sit, lay, and stay. That's it. That's all he can do. He cannot get out of here. Like that man. He couldn't walk. He couldn't get to Jesus. See, we have to get out and we have to reach people. And we have to give them the gospel because the Bible makes it clear in Romans 3, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They have all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none doeth good, no, not one. I can't remember that preacher's name, but he was here and he talked about the, you know, their death cell. Okay, this pet carrier is sin. The penalty of sin is death. That's the wages of sin, is death. People who are lost, they're not going to be able to overcome addiction on their own. You even go to a 12-step program and they tell you to get a higher power, get in some kind of church or some kind of religion. He can't do nothing. He cannot do nothing about his situation at all. He is stuck in a sin and he's stuck on a path to hell. He's stuck. I mean, we agree. He can't get out. Look, don't worry. He's really... He can't get out. But we have to go to him. We have to look for people. And the great thing about it, I mentioned the news. We're surrounded by lost people. It's not like we're having to go and we're having to search for somebody lost. It's hard. It's like, is he lost? No, he's saved. No. We're not surrounded by Christians. We're not. There are lost people everywhere. We can walk to that gas station. There's going to be people in there. And there's going to be somebody lost. And it's our job to go to them. Matthew 9:37. Therefore, he said unto his disciples, Jesus says unto his disciples here, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So many times we get wrapped up in our lives. So many times there's other things that we deem as more important. We need to be like them four men. We need to do whatever it takes. Is it going to take some of our time? Yes. Will it take some of our money? Yes. But what better thing is there than to lead somebody to the Lord? Because see what we got to do. Brother Aaron, you want to come up here? Can you come up here? All right. Camera should be able to see you right here. Stand here. Aaron gets to do what he's always wanted to do. He gets to play God. Yeah. Yeah, watch out. This is going to be bad. We have to go out. Take time out of our day. And we have to get people. And they're going to be in their sin. We can't get him and clean him up. I mean, we can't get him out of it. I can't save nobody. Jonathan can't save nobody. They had to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, his shed blood. This is what it takes. We have to get this individual, like Fluffy, and Jesus is the only one that can save him. You can go ahead and get him out. He won't bite you. He might. See? Easy. Watch him. Now, he's free. And this is what people need to realize. They're free. We got a man with a condition that we're reading about. He can't walk. We got people, I know people. I have a problem with addictions. Jesus saved me. The only way I got rid of any addiction was by giving it to God, telling him, I can't beat this on my own. I need you. See, Fluffy, he's safe. Nothing can get him. God's got him. You know, like the preacher talked about, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light in my path. All right, you can go sit. You did a good job, Aaron. Oh, I'm going to send him up there. Stay. I've got to get back to my text. So we're going to have critics. It's going to cost us something. It's going to take effort. I like this. And this is something I've never understood, which, you know, if I was there, I probably would have been the exact same. I'm not a very smart man. Aaron will tell you that. These people are this scribe is thinking this in his head about, you know, who is this man who blasphemed? Only God can forgive sin. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick a palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that you may know the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. And he said to the sick of palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take thy bed, and go thy way into thy own house. He read their thoughts. So many times, Jesus, they didn't even say the question out loud. They think it. And he answers them. Why did they not get this? Because there's none righteous. They're not seeking after him. I guarantee you, most scribes and Pharisees, the mass majority of them that went to hear Jesus was just trying to figure out how they can catch him up because their focus was on them. See, when we go out and we're witnessing, we don't need to have the focus on us like, you know, hey, I brought in 20 people today. Or, you know, we're just a servant. We're bringing them to Christ. And the thing is, after he tells this man to take thy bed and go into thy house, immediately he arose, took his bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we've never saw it on this fashion. You take a person, and they've had a drug problem. They've been addicted to meth for years. They get saved. I know a preacher today. He got saved because one of his buddies invited him to church. He realized he was a lost sinner and he was going to go to hell. He got saved. And right after he left that altar, he ran straight to the bathroom. He didn't have to go to the bathroom. He was flushing the 8-ball of meth he had in his pocket. His life was changed. And the thing is when people see the life change, they know it's only God that can do that. And that helps build people's faith. And us having faith and, you know, people seeing how much we depend on God and seeing how we act and how we behave, our testimony, and that, you know, whenever we witness to them, that encourages them that, okay, this is true. This might be true. It gets them to believe. See, I went to the first time I ever stepped foot in a church. I was 14. And it was all because a man told Bible stories at lunch at my job. But he seemed different than everybody else on that construction job. See, these men, Jesus said he saw their faith. We have to have a good testimony. We can't be out at the bar witnessing to people, drinking with them. Yeah, we have to go into the world and we have to get them, but, you know, we're not of this world. I mean, I'd imagine this man, if they'd went and picked him up and said, hey, we're going to take this man Jesus, you know, and they knew he was a wild man and, you know, well, he ain't got much faith. This probably ain't going to work. Our testimony is important. I know I said I don't care what people think about me. I do want them to know I go to church. I do want them to know I believe in God. I know they're going to think I'm crazy. I know they're going to think I'm weird. And that's fine. I got a pet brick. I'm weird. But we're after life change. It's like in Master Club. We want kids to get saved. But we want them to grow spiritually. We want their lives to be changed. We give them verses to memorize. We want them to memorize these verses and we're teaching them, hey, memorize this verse. Learn this. You know, the Bible says don't drink. So, you know, whenever they're ever confronted with drinking, they can remember, you know, my God tells me not to drink. That's foolish. So many times people go out to people and they try to clean them up before they come to church. Just let them come to church. I've had people on jobs that come to church. Well, I don't care how you're dressed. Come to church. What will people say? They'll say, hi, welcome. I'm so-and-so. This has to be a top priority. We got a revival coming up. Brother Weedo's already got people. It'd be nice if we had people show up. I found some new neighbors at the end of the road. I'm hoping they'll show up. They got some kids. But where to go out? We're not to worry what the world says. We're not to let the critics stop us. Remember, we have that thing, the Great Commission. We're to go out into all the world. I like that what John Yates says. If our goal is not to get the gospel to the whole world, then we are not doing the work. And that is one thing I love about this church is we are trying hard to get the gospel to the world. How many missionaries we got? 35 missionaries? It's interesting to sit because, you know, I'm in the sound booth all the time. It's interesting to sit and to see the other computer screen next to me and to see what countries are lining up where people are watching this church service. We're getting out. We're getting the gospel out. People will write letters and tell us what's going on. But we also need to go out the doors. Man, Miguel's really got to hit Bon Ob hard. It would be nice if Bon Ob had a better reputation. I'm trying. I'm trying to get my little subdivision. I am. And the thing is a lot of people worry about rejection. You know, I've invited some neighbors several times, and now if they see me walk out with my dog, they're doing that bit. They run back in. I know why they're doing it. Okay? They're not rejecting me. They're rejecting God. I've witnessed to them, asked them if they're saved. the night, invited them to church several times, even offered to give them a ride. They're not here. But that's okay. I'm still going to pray for them. It may be 50 years down the road. They're a young couple. They can have 50 years down the road. They may one day say, you know what? I want to go to church. We had that one guy that lived next door to us forever who got out and walked a pet brick down the road. And he would witness to us, and he had witnessed to other neighbors. Maybe that will leave an impression on them. So, you know, you're talking to women, you planted a seed, or maybe you watered a seed. We don't know. You won't know until we get to heaven what effects you have on people's lives. But the thing is, I really think Jesus could come back at any moment. I would rather, when he comes back, to be working for him instead of sitting on my couch watching TV or sitting out in the yard just watching, you know, nothing. But we need to be like these four people. We need to do whatever it takes. If it takes time, let's take the time. If we got to set a time spot out through the week to say, you know what, on this day, I'm going to go talk to my neighbors. We used to, at church here, go out on Thursday nights and knock on doors. I'm scared to death to knock on strange people's door. It terrifies me. But all my neighbors know me, and I've introduced myself. I mean, I got to live around these people. So I'll go talk to them. You know what? We got some new people in the duplex. Let's go knock on the door. Let's go see about them. We have to take the time. And if it costs us money, it costs us money. It's like tithes, you know. I'm really big on people paying tithes because we got to keep this church running. We got to keep the bus going. We got to keep these kids in here. If you ever been to a church where it was nothing but elderly people, and I've got nothing against elderly people, I relate to them because my parents kind of raised me like I was an old person. I went to a church once that had six people. It was three couples. The youngest person, not counting me, there was 70. That church is no longer in existence. We got to keep going after young families. We got to keep going after people. I'll go after the crazies. That's fine. Y'all pick out who y'all are comfortable to go after. Let's all try to get somebody to come on our anniversary Sunday. I'd like to see the house packed. I'd like to see more families join. I would love to see some of my family members in church. I've got a sister not going to church anywhere. If somebody else can reach her and get her in here, get her in here. She's not listening to me. And that's the thing is, we ought not care who gets them into church or who takes credit for it. If I can't reach a person, I'll send Derek after them. I'll send Jonathan after them. Send Aaron, Chad, I don't care. But they need Jesus. If you've ever had a friend die, and you knew for a fact that friend went to hell and you did nothing, has anybody ever had that happen? I'm the only person. And Derek, that is an awful thought. Is a terrible thought. I'm never going to see David again. And I'm going to stand before God. I'm saved. I'm not going to lose my salvation, but I'm going to stand before God. And it's going to be in my mind, why didn't I tell David? And God has set a really good reminder for me to witness to people. When you go to my house, everybody knows I live in the great state of Bonham. Before you get to Sexton Food, right after the little log house on the left, so people who drive in Bonham probably know where that's at. You got Hattaball's camper sale, you got the little log cabin across the creek, and then there's a road, can't think of what it's called. There's a fence post, chain link fence. The corner post has a huge dent in it. That's where David's motorcycle hit. Now, I pray that somebody gave him the gospel before he died and that I'll see him again. But to my knowledge, it didn't happen. So when you have to drive by every day going home and you see a reminder, we need to remember, you know, not be mad at the world because they're crazy. Not be mad at them because they're doing all these stupid things that's just insane. They don't know no better. They're trying to fill a void in their life. And we need to tell them what they need, and that's Jesus. I pray that nobody ever has to sit there and think about that, that they're the, you know, they didn't give the gospel to somebody and they died. It's not a good feeling. I encourage everybody, if you're not witnessing to people like you should, witness. If you're scared, get some tracts. Start off with a small amount of tracts. Get one or two tracts. And I'm going to give this to somebody. I'm going to give this to a neighbor. I'm going to give this to a coworker. They're not going to... I haven't been hit yet doing that. Okay? Start off small. Build up your confidence. Pray before you go. Pray that God puts somebody in your path that you can lead to Him. Pray that God puts a burden on your heart to witness to people. And I know what you're saying. Well, Joey, we haven't seen anybody that you've talked to come to church. I know. I had one neighbor come for a while and then they left. I had one friend come for a while and they left. It's discouraging. But I got to do my part, and that's invite. I got to do my part, and that's witness. I hope this is a blessing, or at least an encouragement that y'all come back and hear Aaron preach. Brother Derek, will you pray and dismiss us, please?